If I want to make a married man question his life's decisions, all I have to tell him is, when I need or desire for or just wish for a day of rest and recreation, I can wake up, say on a Sunday morning, and clear my to-do list, executive decision, just push it all back. Push it on to Monday, next week, whenever. Now I suddenly have an entire day to do whatever I want. Maybe I'm gonna spend the next 24 hours sitting in front of the TV, binging my favorite zombie apocalypse series. Maybe I'm gonna hit the road, go for a drive, just aimlessly out into the world to see what's out there. But it's my decision, regardless of what I decide to do. You may say, John, you're just wasting time. And I would say, exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I can. And if you're a married man, this Sunday morning goes completely different to you. You're gonna have a completely different experience. You're gonna wake up when the alarm goes off and you're gonna be given a list of things that need to be accomplished for this day. You're not gonna have time to get out of the shower before that list is on the refrigerator and you are accounted for all day long. Not only is this list something that you knew was coming, but now there are a few extra items on the list that you did not know about. You are not in control of your time. You have turned over your autonomy to a marriage, to a woman, to a set of responsibilities that are an archaic example of how we allow the past to drive our current life expression. We've taken this ancient institution of marriage and we've applied it to modern life, and it just doesn't work. Today, we're gonna be talking about some of the real to life benefits that come from being single and some of the real life problems that come with being married, and why any thinking man in 2026 has gotta be questioning why on earth he would enter into a legal agreement binding him to another human being for the rest of his life. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. So if your best friend is about to get married and you've been tasked with setting up the bachelor party, rather than getting a bunch of hookers or strippers to jump out of a cake or entertain you guys and you get all hammered and push your favorite guy off into the world with a woman, you can show him this video instead. Imagine me showing up at your bachelor party with all my good news about marriage. Because the first thing I'd tell your friend, I'd say, hey dude, you remember what it was like when you were a little kid and you had to ask your mom for permission to do everything? You had to go outside and play. Mom, can I please go? Well, getting married brings that back. Yes, just like the old days. You're gonna be asking permission. Mom, can I go with my friends and play? We were just gonna have a few drinks at the bar. No, honey, that's not a good idea. Don't like your friends, can't go. Honey, can I get this shiny new thing that I've been thinking about for a long time with my own money? I worked so hard to earn it. Can I please get it? Sorry, honey, you can't have that. You're a big boy now. Video games are for children. You can't have that. This is what life is gonna look like under the tutelage of a woman. When you're married, you are essentially opting out of your autonomy in favor of a relationship. Keep this in mind. Most guys don't have a clear understanding of this and they get shocked. I think that's why a lot of marriages end in the first year. Guys go, what the hell happened? This isn't what I thought this was gonna be. Where's all the fun? Yeah, it's a myth, it doesn't exist. I like to call it the permission paradox, because although you are a full-grown man, at least from the outside, when you enter into the institution of marriage, there is some fine print where you give up your autonomy as a man. You no longer are considered a full-grown man. It's like you need to have a woman there to keep you straight, to make you right, to bring you back into the civilized world. You need her washing your clothes, feeding you, wiping your ass, whatever. And in exchange for that, you're going to give up all of your freedom. You're going to tell her to just take control of your finances and your spare time, and she's going to gladly oblige you. Sharing a bank account with a woman is sort of like throwing your money into a crypto account and just watching it go up and down randomly, except that you're not being driven by market forces, it's being driven by her shopping forces. Women are some of the only people on the planet that can look at throw pillows as an investment. They think that somehow they're going to pay off in the long run. Remember my son, when he was a kid, he convinced me that Pokemon cards would one day be worth millions and millions of dollars. Turns out he was right. But I gave him a lot of shit about it. I said, man, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, I guess I was wrong about that. But I'm not so sure about throw pillows. I don't think they're ever going to increase in value. I think if you're going to be the best man and you're setting up the bachelor party, you need to ask your man about the cost of this wedding. Because if this wedding is going to cost more than, I think it's $30,000 to draw the line. Maybe it was $20,000. Yeah, I think if it costs more than $20,000, the chances of a divorce go up by 48% during the first, like, 3 years. So if you're a woman, has a Pinterest account where she spends all of her time planning her wedding, that's not a good sign. That is not a good sign at all, because you're just going to be the Ken doll in her Barbie wedding, and you're going to be footing the bill for this thing, and you're going to be hemorrhaging money for a long time, because these weddings do not come cheap. Any woman that's too focused on the wedding that she doesn't think about the marriage is someone that you need to be very, very cautious of. This is someone who will blow up your life. So let's talk a little bit about the decorating disaster that is about to befall your bachelor pad. You're going to find that your leather recliner is going to have a burial at sea. You're never going to see it again. Yeah, for some reason, women in leather just don't get along. I remember when I was married, I had dogs, and she always wanted to buy some fabric couch or something, and she liked the color white, which is really not good with dogs. So we bought some leather furniture for our family room. It was beautiful leather furniture. Big couch, big chair, big love seat. Dogs get on it, you wipe it off, perfectly practical. The older it got and the more beat up it got, the better it looked. I mean, it was insane. It was insane. Leather is great that way. It's practical. Yeah, women just hate it. She did not let me live that down. She acted like she had made the sacrifice of a lifetime in order for me to have that leather furniture. And every time she sat in it, she complained about it. It's too cold. It's too firm. It's too something or other. I think we bought that furniture like 5 years into our marriage. So for the next 15 years, every time she went to the frickin' family room to watch a movie, all she did was complain about that damn leather furniture. Oh my God. I just don't understand it. I just don't. I just can't wrap my brain around it. Why is it that women have such a difficult time with things that are practical? Why is that? Why does it have to be something that is ethereal? Is that the way to put it? I don't know. But they have this whimsical, that's what it is, a whimsical idea about the way their lives should look. And it should all be these dainty pastels and light colors. And unfortunately, in the real world, these things don't do so well. They tear, they wear out, they get dirty. And then sometimes you can't fix them. But if you buy leather or other materials like canvas, cotton even, you can clean it pretty cleanly, pretty well. You don't need to replace it every time something bad happens. Yeah, but you're going to lose all your control over your bachelor pad. All those beer posters or concert posters, and certainly any posters of a woman in it, they are coming down, my friend. You're not going to recognize the place in a few months. All right, Dibu. Lead the way, my friend. So you like watching your sports on a big TV, huh? Well, I have yet to meet a woman that enjoys having a big TV in her house. It's very seldom that this happens. I have now a 65-inch flat screen TV in my house, which I think is a little on the small side, quite honestly. My ex-wife came by, she looked at that thing, she said, "Oh my God, that is huge!" At her house, she's got this little teeny tiny thing, it's like a computer monitor. I mean, it's like, how do you even see that from across the room? I remember going to her sister's house for Thanksgiving once, and there were other men there. They were coerced into this debacle as well. And there was me and three other guys in this teeny tiny little room watching an old-fashioned tube TV that was probably like 11 inches across. We could barely even see. You could barely even tell what the colors of the teams were on Thanksgiving Day. Can you imagine? This is what women do to men. This is what makes us miserable. This is why so many marriages end in divorce. It's because for whatever reason, a woman has in her head ahead of time exactly how this marriage is going to be, what it's going to look like, what her house is going to look like, how she's going to be, how she's going to be the matriarch. She's going to be in control of everything, and you're just going to be the support structure, like the furniture. You're going to be just quietly sitting there doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done, and she's going to make all the major decisions for you. Now, you may be saying, "John, that's hyperbolic. You're pushing that way too far." That's not always the case. No, it's not always the case, but it's the case often enough that makes you stop and wonder, why am I trading my own free will and autonomy for this? And what am I getting in return, really? As a single guy, your biggest social obligation is knowing when your favorite team plays, where you're going to watch the game, and with whom. That's pretty much it. And it happens on a weekly basis until the seasons change, and then you got to alter your calendar a little bit. But for the most part, that is as complex as it gets. Well, once you get married, what happens is women attract other women. Yeah, they all get together. They create like a group. And they do women's things, but they want to include their men in these things as well. So you run into you move into a new neighborhood. She is immediately scoping out all the other women in the neighborhood, and they are getting together for wine. And they are going to make some plans for your weekend without you even knowing about it. Next thing you know, you're at some cookout with a bunch of people you don't even know, talking about preschools and schools and stuff like that, and you don't even have kids yet. Like, what the hell am I doing here? Why am I with these people? I don't know who these people are. I don't care who they are. I don't care about schools. Why are we having this conversation? Why am I not at home watching my team play? What's happening here? How did I end up in this situation? It's because you got married. That's how. Yeah, if you were a single guy like me, well, you could be at home right now watching your favorite football team play, or you could be watching the NBA playoffs, or, baseball season started now. You could be watching the Nationals are doing quite well this year. They're on a streak. So, but you don't know that because you're married. when you're single, you can call in sick from work and you can just take the day and go to the ballpark, and just sit out there in the bleachers and just watch baseball, And it's still possible to do that these days because the midweek games, they don't sell out. And just taking the day off and buying some tickets, and even if you're sitting in the nosebleeds, it's not that bad. You're going to just be enjoying the sun, having some snacks, listening to the game because you can't hardly see it, but it's going to be fun. It's a day out. It's rest and recreation. Now, if you're married and you call in sick to try to pull that off, you might find yourself in trouble. You might find yourself getting the silent treatment the next day. You might find yourself sleeping on the couch that night. These are all real life scenarios that you need to keep in mind. You need to maybe even start having these conversations with your future bride, if that's your intention, long before you actually say those magic words. Because too oftentimes I think guys say, "I do," before they realize what "I do" means. That means I do all the things that she wants you to do. And that may not be what you have in mind. So you need to be really, really clear about it. Because I guarantee you, she's got a vision for your life and you don't know about it. And if you don't take control of it right now, you're not going to get a chance in the future. You've got to do it long before those words come out of your mouth. I think a big part of the problem is that men think that their lives are going to continue on the way they have been when they were dating this girl. And women think that everything is going to change after the wedding. Like, this is where the primary disconnect occurs. And It manifests itself in so many different ways, but probably leisure time is the one that most men are going to miss the most. So what happens is, like, if you enjoy, I don't know, playing video games or hanging out with your friends, playing golf, I don't know, going on hikes, you have a routine of things that you enjoy doing. It won't happen immediately, but over time, over the next, say, 2, 3, 4 years, you're going to notice that you're not doing those things anymore. You're going to find yourself sitting around the house waiting for her to tell you where you're going to go next. You're going to be watching reality TV shows about people rehashing or refurbishing houses that you will never be able to afford. They're going to be, you know, I've done that so oftentimes. It's just ridiculous. Thank God Oprah's off the air. But I remember having to sit and watch tons and tons of Oprah when I was married. Romantic comedies, you know, like on Friday nights, trying to decide what you're going to watch, you know, and there's this great new action movie that's just hit streaming, and you're thinking, ah, this is what we're going to watch. This is absolutely it. And then you realize that you've got to compromise. You realize you got to compromise. And now, next thing you know, you're watching whatever the latest version of The Notebook is, and you're thinking, oh, I wish I could have the opportunity to watch what I actually want to watch. But this compromise isn't about us making a joint decision about what we could both watch together. It's about me making her happy so that I don't pay a price for it later. Because I know that if I say, hey, I'm going to watch this movie, I'm going to get the cold shoulder. She's going to walk upstairs and go to bed, pretend she's asleep when I get up there. There's going to be no romance at all. And I might still be paying a price for it tomorrow morning. So this is the reality of what it's like to be married. If you don't compromise 100%, I mean, like in, it's like our dysfunctional government, you know? There is no compromise. It's either all one way or all the other. And that's what it's like in marriage. There's no compromise. Too oftentimes, it's like if you don't give in to her, then you're not a good man, you know? But there is no requirement that she give in to you. Like, I don't understand why that is. Socially, the world sees that men must give out to women, but women have to be the recipient of all of these compromises. They have to be the ones that get the advantage of it. I don't know if it's because we open doors for them and they think that because we open the damn door that means that they can take control of our lives. I don't know. But I have failed to see a time where a married man has enough autonomy over his own life where he can legitimately say and look me straight in the eyes and say, you know, John, things are great. I wouldn't change a thing. It just doesn't happen. Thinking about changing jobs, maybe even careers? Oh man, I wouldn't do that. You're gonna get the career consultation talk. You're gonna get a full presentation on why you should probably stay right where you are, doing exactly what you're doing, supporting her lifestyle. Don't like any risks. You don't want taking any opportunities here that might create the potential for a problem, a break in the stream of income. We definitely need to keep that cash flowing to keep all those subscriptions going. So you may find that you're kind of locked in to whatever job you had when you got married. And if you decide that maybe this isn't the best thing for you, the only option you have is to maybe get yourself fired. You know? You just lose the ability to make decisions about what you want to do with your own life. And that can be one of the most difficult things because it locks you in. It makes you start to feel like you're in your own little prison then. Once that career thing goes out the window and your life at home is locked down, now you're like, oh my God, it's like being in prison, except it's a prison that I built. It's a prison that I chose. It's a prison that I agreed to, you know? And I'm starting to wonder, what was my state of mind? Where the hell was my best man? What was he doing? He was getting strippers and hookers. He should have been showing me John's video. That's what should have been going on. But the truth is, you probably haven't seen your best man in years, because he probably got edited out of your life through the friendship audit. The friendship audit is when she, either with your awareness or not, makes decisions about the kinds of people that you should have in your life. And if your best man did get you strippers and hookers for the best man or for the bachelor party, I can just about guarantee you that he will not be your friend 3 to 5 years after that night. He will be disappeared into the mist. You won't know what happened, why he's gone. It will just end. And what's interesting is that your sweetie will convince you of all the reasons why you need to let this guy go. He's too immature for you. And you're like, yeah, he is immature, but that's why I like him. You know? Oh, he drinks too much. Yeah, he does drink too much, but again, that's why I like him. He's got a really bad sense of humor. He's inappropriate. Oh, that's a good one. I know, that's why we like him. You know, like all the reasons why you like your friends are all the same reasons why she hates them. So just prepare yourself that if you haven't made some decisions ahead of time, and you really got to make a list, I hope you're working on that right now. You should be making a list of all the things that you need to defend when you get into a marriage, because she's coming for him, I guarantee it. She's already thought it through. If she's been dating you for a while and she already knows the guys that you hang out with, she's already made decisions about who's leaving the pack, who's not going to be involved. And really what's probably going to happen more than anything is that you're just going to be pulled back. You're the one that's going to be missing from the pack. Here's one of the strongest indicators that you're losing control of your life when you're married, is you're going to have a shared Google Calendar. And all the on this calendar is going to be your itinerary. It's going to be telling you what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, what day it's going to happen, and what else is going on during the week. You're going to have full awareness of everything that she needs from you, and it's going to remove all spontaneity from your existence. So if somehow somebody comes up with some great concert tickets, let's say, I don't know, AC/DC's getting back together and they're gonna tour, and you're like, fuck yeah, man, I wanna go to see AC/DC, even though one of them's dead. I'm gonna go watch that concert. I love that stuff. It's going out Friday night, but you better go check the Google Calendar really quick. Double check, make sure there's not something expected of you on Friday night, because chances are there is. Now what are you gonna do? If you haven't got it booked out 3 weeks in advance, it's probably not gonna happen. So these spontaneous tickets that just fell into your lap, well, you're not gonna get to use them. You're gonna have to hear about the concert from somebody else that gets to take those tickets and actually enjoy them. A couple of single guys are gonna go and tell you what a great time they had, how they met some really cool girls while they were there, how they went out for drinks afterward, and how the night got really fun after that. Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, you're just hating your life. You're just thinking, man, what happened to the fun guy that I used to be? Where is he now? I have seen on TikTok, Instagram, and even on YouTube, on the shorts, where women complain about doing emotional labor for men. And this is, without question, the biggest lie they tell themselves. As a man who has spent a lot of time with women in his life, I can tell you, I don't need to have a mouth. Like, all I need are ears. I just need two ears to sit there and nod my head and just let her talk incessantly. Women will dump every emotional thought they have in their head on you in a moment's notice. They cannot hold it in. It's like it's going to explode out of them. But if you have a bad day at work, let's say something really goes sideways, and you come home and you're like, I just need to talk to my trusted, loyal, sweet honey, because I know she'll understand. Well, you better take your turn, because she's gonna dump everything that happened at the grocery store, what happened when she picked up the kids. She's gonna tell you about how Susie across the street's having problems with her husband before you ever get a chance to say anything. So you just gotta suck it up, Buttercup, because you're not gonna get that off your chest with her. She doesn't care. She doesn't really want to know your story. She just wants you there to listen to hers. Now, there are times when they will pretend to care about your story. There are times when they will let you talk for a few minutes. But just watch how quickly the subject changes back to whatever she wants to talk about. I guarantee it. You just test it out. Say, honey, things are going really bad at work. I'm really concerned. There might be layoffs. Company's not making any money. I'm really worried about myself and my job. What are we gonna do? And you say, oh my gosh, honey, that sounds terrible. You know, something similar like that happened to Julia, my friend down the street. You know, she lost her job down at Circle K. I don't know what's going on in the world anymore. And what did she do with her family? Well, they moved to a trailer out in the country somewhere. And you're like, how does this affect me? What am I doing here? You're talking about moving to a trailer? What's happening? What's happening? Yeah, she doesn't give a shit. She doesn't care about your issues. In fact, you're a man. You're supposed to suck it up. You're supposed to deal with that stuff. Pack it down, like Bill Burr says. Save it for that heart attack or that stroke. You're gonna need it. You know, you're gonna need all that pressure built up if you're gonna have a good old-fashioned heart attack or stroke. And yeah, just pack it away, man, because that's what you're gonna have to do. Now, since becoming single, I can tell you that I am not a rich man, but I am smarter than I have ever been. I have maids that come to my house and clean up.
like once every 2 weeks. They change all the sheets, they clean everything, top to bottom. They even clean out the fridge. It's crazy. It's crazy what a great job they do. I don't have to sleep with any of them. And I don't have to give them any more money. They just withdraw it from my accounts, like $100 or whatever, every time they show up. And I am very, very happy with this arrangement. They're really good at it. They enjoy it. We have a nice cordial relationship. They're done cleaning, and guess what they do? They leave. And I don't see them again for 2 weeks. This is the best thing that ever happened. The idea that a man needs to have a woman come, you know, to be married to in order to take care of all this stuff in his house. Let me tell you, fellas, it's a lot cheaper to hire a woman to do a lot of these activities. And I would argue, I could make an argument at the risk of being banned by YouTube, that you could probably get a woman on payroll to do lots of things that you want to do. Like, you don't necessarily need to make a commitment whatsoever. You could probably pay for a lot of services that you're currently incorporating into a marriage. Just keep that in mind. You don't actually need to marry a woman in order to have access to all of the activities and behaviors that you enjoy from women. And even some of the ones that you don't, like cleaning house. But you know, if your wife is cleaning house and you're sitting on the couch, oh my God, man, you are gonna get it. She's gonna blast you. When the maids come, I sit right on the couch. You know what they do? They just clean around me. They don't complain at all. They don't complain at all. It's great. And if I feel like I need to move to another room, I'll just move to another room. You know, I'll watch TV over there, or I'll get on my computer. But I get no pushback from the maids, man. They are the best. They are the best. God bless them. I love them. I really do. They are some of my favorite women in the whole world. Because when they show up, man, the house just smells so good. It just smells so good when they leave.
Ironically, one of the weakest arguments for getting married is the one that most guys fall for. Well, it's just what you do when you get to a certain age, you know, it's just what we do. That's just the way things are. That's just the way society works. That's bullshit, okay? There was a time when it was needed that women needed to have a man in their lives in order to survive. And so men had sort of an arrangement, and they called it marriage, where they would take care of a woman and she would give him children, and those children would then go to the family business or the family farm and they would work. It was more of a business arrangement than it was a romantic relationship. Now, it could be that there was some romance from time to time. Obviously, you got to make children, so you could make that romantic if you wanted to. But it was not a situation where the woman was in control of the man's life. The man was still an independent guy. He had full autonomy. And she had autonomy too, but she had her set of responsibilities and he had his set of responsibilities. And they were just designed to keep the house together and to make everyone survive, help everyone survive. We don't need that anymore. We got lots of machines. We got dishwashers, we got washing machines, dryers, you got microwave ovens. You don't need a woman. I'm telling you that right now. You do not need one to take care of you. And if children is something that you absolutely got to have, you can make an arrangement with a woman. You can do surrogacy. You can adopt. There's lots and lots of ways. If you feel like that's your calling in life to have a baby or a child, you can do that. Or you can just take the risk of getting married and you can just prenup the hell out of it. You know what I mean? So that it's very clear exactly what your limitations are and what they aren't. And make sure that you're both legally represented so that no one can scream about not having the right representation when these contracts are signed. Because judges will definitely try to throw them out if they think there was any impropriety in the way that this thing was dealt with or signed. But yeah, you definitely do not need to have a marriage in your life to comply with some preconceived idea of the way things are supposed to be based on history. Because everything is different now than it was then. And in fact, even as we're seeing populations drop, and I know everyone's very concerned about that, and then we're seeing AI taking over lots and lots of jobs. And even though it's kind of incompetent now, it's getting better and better and better. And you know that in a generation or so, it's going to do a lot of stuff that we have to do now. And, we don't need all these extra people anyway. You know what I mean? Like, really? Do we really need them? Here's the thing. Is there are some happy couples out there. There really are. But in order to improve your odds of being a happy couple, first of all, each of you has to be extremely happy individually going into a relationship. And you both have to have clarity and agreement on what that life is going to look like. Otherwise, you're going to end up in divorce court. And divorce court still takes its cues from some time back in the 1940s or 50s, where the relationships were completely different, society was completely different, and the kind of responsibilities that were expected of one person or of an adult were completely different. Now, women have all the same rights that you have. They are fully grown adults. They should not be getting alimony. Period. Period. Child support should be 50-50. In all cases, it should always be that case, unless there's some kind of a criminal background in one party or the other. But my point is, what has happened in the past, driving today's activity, makes no sense. It's illogical. The circumstances that existed back then do not exist now. So why would you do that? You know, it's like taking a car from the 1970s. So my dad had a 1976 Chevette. Oh man, this thing was a chick magnet, I'll tell you that. And this Chevette, little red car, two doors, no air conditioning, manual windows, AM radio. It did have heat. The seats would not recline. So there was only so much action you can get in there. But it got like 25 miles a gallon. So that thing was hot. And but if you took that 1976 Chevette and you put it on a modern car lot and you said, this thing, I think it cost $3,500 back in 1976, just to give you an idea. And you take this little car and you put it on a 2026 car lot and you say, we're going to sell this thing today and we're going to charge 2026 prices. And we're gonna try to get some money on this thing. So you're gonna throw it on that lot and you're gonna list it for $40,000. Would you buy that car? No, you wouldn't. Why not? Because it's an old piece of shit car, right? And it's not worth $40,000, right? Well, marriage is exactly the same thing. You're taking this old idea, this concept that doesn't exist anymore, that doesn't make any sense, that is archaic, it's out of date, and you're gonna bring it into the future, you're gonna bring it into today, and you can charge these huge prices for it, you know? These prices that are not worth it. And you're going to tell people that this is the way things always were. This is what we do. This is how we do it. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. Divorce isn't expensive because of what you lose alone. Divorce becomes expensive because you're paying a bunch of strangers to dismantle your life and take it from you. That's the irony here, is that you're actually gonna pay a legal team to dismantle your life and take it from you and then give it to each of you, split it up. So it's like if you take 100%, you think I'm gonna divide this by two, be 50-50. That's not how it works at all. That's not how it works at all. So if you're 100%, 30% is gonna go to the people that you're gonna pay to take it from you. You know, so now you've only got 70% to split between the two of you. And for whatever reason, she's going to get most of it. So you'd be lucky to walk away with 25 to 30% of your stuff, while she's going to get 40% and they're going to get 30%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be lucky to walk away with as much as the lawyers, quite honestly, because that's just the way it works. Now, I'm not going to get into the psychological and emotional craziness that happens following a breakup, because it's just too deep and dark to even begin to talk about. But trust me, I talked to many, many men on this topic, and it's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching. I talked to a guy last weekend, or maybe a little last week, and he... his wife had just left him, and he was so distraught, he couldn't face his own pain. Like, he couldn't even face his own pain. The only thing he could think to do was to get another woman. He thought, well, I've lost this car, I'm gonna go get another one. And that was the way he was thinking about it. Not realizing how deep and how painful dealing with this issue was. He just didn't want to deal with it at all. He's like, you know something? That's 15 years down the drain. I don't give a damn. I'm going to move on to the next one. Next? Who's next? You know? And I tried to talk him out of it, but he was bound and determined to bring another woman into his life. How do you think that's going to work out? I don't think it's going to go real well. I'm just expecting I'm going to hear back from him in a year or two. He's going to say, fuck, John, man, you were right. I should have just stayed on my own. I should have just been single for a while. I should have just... dated women, friends with benefits. That's all I needed. I didn't need to get married again. But if you're out there, you're vulnerable, you're weak, you're trying to find somebody to fill this void, this gap you have in your life, you'll find someone, I guarantee it, and she'll sniff you out and she will know exactly what she's got when she finds you. She's going to know that you're a man that she can exploit, and she will do it. Trust me. Whether you're single always been single, or you're divorced, you have been granted a wonderful opportunity. The disadvantage that just single guys have is they don't know what it's like to lose their autonomy and control over their entire lives. As a divorced guy, you have had that experience, and now you have the opportunity to get it all back. Too oftentimes, guys focus on what they've lost in divorce, and they don't focus on what they've gained. Because what you've gained is autonomy, which means financial freedom, which means you're no longer locked into whatever she wants to spend money on. You can spend money on yourself. Now, you may not have a lot of it left, but more will come, I promise. And when it does, you can use it wherever the hell you want to use it. You can save it, you can spend it, you can travel, you can buy stuff. Just do what you want with it. You do not need to ever listen to someone else's priorities for the way you should be spending your own damn money. It's yours. Spend it the way you want. Career freedom. You're fed up with your job? Quit. Find something else to do. You think that boss is an asshole? Go tell him. Go tell him he's an asshole. Quit. You always knew you wanted to do something else anyway. Start doing it now. You're not supporting her. You're not supporting her lifestyle, whatever. You know, you don't need to have the career consultation conversation. Screw her. Get the job that you want. Do the career that you want. Live your life on your own terms. All those friends that were audited out of your life because you didn't like them, well, now's your opportunity to reconnect. You know, go back to living life the way you enjoyed it before she came along. You can find other women to have sex with, fool around with, go out and have fun with, whatever. Just don't commit to them. Don't get married. My God. Have some good friends. You know, if you're going to live with a guy, you're going to have a good time. You may have a messy house, it may stink, and you may have dishes in the sink and the stains on the couch or whatever, but you know something? There'll be no one there nagging you. No one there nagging you. And you'll save half the rent. So consider that. It's interesting that gay guys' relationships last so much longer than lesbians. It's just one of those fascinating facts, you know, that the more you look at it and the more you think, why is that happening? Well, it seems like the more women you get together in the same place, the more likelihood is you're going to have a relationship explode. That's the only answer anyone can come up with. So why would you want to commit yourself to a legal agreement that makes you responsible for this other person when she's a woman? You know, if you got to be responsible for somebody, be responsible for another guy. You know, you guys could pretend to be married. You know what I mean? Like, how do they even know? You know, you get all the benefits of being married. He's just your best friend. You're not really doing anything. You know, you're just going to tell the world that you're married to this guy. You don't have to kiss him or anything. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You just get all the benefits, you know, the tax breaks, etc. And yeah, screw the government, you know, screw them all. When you have your peace of mind and you are in control of your own life and you can make clear-headed decisions about the direction that you want to go with your own life, and you start taking steps in that direction, and you start getting momentum, and you start feeling better about who you are and the life that you're living every single day, you're going to be really jealously guarding your freedom. You will not want to hand that over to anyone under any circumstances. You can have meaningful, intimate relationships with women that are deep and powerful and strong and romantic and fill that emptiness inside you, you know, make you feel good again, whatever it is, without having to put a ring on anyone's finger or sign a legal document claiming that you'll be responsible for her for the rest of her life. Now, if you want to be responsible for her for the rest of her life, you can just tell her, I will take care of you, baby. I swear to God, I will take care of you no matter what. And if you need to write her a note, you can write her a note. But I don't think you need to. I think that just your word should be enough. I think that's the way life is supposed to be led, you know? If you're not going to keep your word to someone, then you're going to pay a price for that on some level, you know? If you let someone down in a meaningful way, you're going to pay a price for it, I guarantee it. But signing a legal contract and having some lawyers come in and tear your life apart to force you to pay some pre-calculated number to this person who now clearly hates you, you know, that doesn't seem like an agreement that I want to enter into under any circumstances at all. And if I am the best man at that bachelor party and I'm the guy who's setting it up, I'm running this video instead of hiring a stripper. Now, I am not as much fun as a stripper, but I will definitely, definitely cost you less, and I will probably save your friend's life. So after watching this video, if you still think that getting married is a good idea, then here's the one caveat I will allow for you, all right? So if you've got your shit together, I mean like really, really together, you've got a vision for your life, okay? You know exactly where you're going. She knows where you're going and she is in agreement. She's on board. She understands the destination of this vessel. She understands where we're headed and she wants to do everything she can to help get you on that track, to get you where you want to go. She is bought in to your program. She understands where this is going. You've had the conversations with her about autonomy and how critical it is for you to maintain an aspect of your autonomy so that you can still be your authentic self. And how critical it is that you are your authentic self, because if she takes over running your life, she is going to turn you into a man that she is going to hate. I promise you that. Because she's going to turn you into a guy that just does everything that she wants, and you cannot allow that to happen. You cannot. And you need to make her understand that. That it's not that you don't love her when you tell her no. It's that no is probably the best word that she needs to hear in that moment. And she needs to just be able to accept that. Whether that be on a financial issue, or that's about, you know, you're planning for, you know, social activities or whatever. She needs to understand that in every relationship, someone needs to be the leader. Now, maybe you don't lead on every single thing all the time, but you got to be leading on some of these aspects that are really critical to your autonomy. Because if you don't, she's going to take over. And if she does, you're going to be a sad, sad man. So you got to be clear about who's responsible for what and who's taking a leadership role for what activity. Because if you don't do that, I promise you, she will. And you're going to be a very, very sad guy. Anyway, I think I've said all I can say on this. I actually have a whole list of things I could talk about, but I think this video is going to be really long already, and I'm pushing time. Anyway, if you enjoy these videos, please like and subscribe and set that notification bell on, because YouTube is basically hijacking the entire algorithm and deciding what you're going to watch, whether you want to watch it or not. They're going to stick stuff in front of you, probably because certain advertisers will pay more for certain videos than others. And I have learned that when I start talking more risque, well, they pay me a lot less. Which means the advertisers are paying less, which means YouTube's getting paid less. So they show my video to fewer people. So you gotta set those notifications on, otherwise you will not see them. Because I tend to go out there and I talk about things that are not advertiser friendly sometimes. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.